So we'll call a meeting to order. Good morning, everyone. First, like to introduce our newest commissioner, Michael Alexander, and who goes by Mike, as I understand it, is president or was president and CEO of the Urban League of Portland from 2012 until retirement last year. Healthcare industry leader with much experience in that area, executive roles at the Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oregon, which is now MOTA, I believe.
Cambia.
Magellan Behavioral Science or Behavioral Health and Aetna insurers, including 4 years as vice president and executive director of the Aetna Foundation. Michael's had a lot of experiences here. I'm going to continue to go through a few. He said at least half of them are accurate, I think, that I probably have here. I served as founding chair of Cambia Regions Blue Cross Blue Shield Foundation and currently serves on the boards of LifeWorks Northwest, the American Leadership Forum of Oregon, Northwest Health Foundation, Black United Fund, and University of Oregon President's Diversity Advisory Community Council, community boards for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oregon, Wells Fargo, steering committees for Oregon's Oregon Healthy Estate, and Black Male Achievement. Mike is a graduate of Lewis University and Bryn Mawr College Graduate School of Social Work and Social Research, and clearly has a lot of experience, leadership, executive experience, and educational training in the social work area. So welcome, Mike. It's very nice to have you. We now have a full complement, I think, with our new board members, and it's a terrific group. So welcome.
Thank you.
Also like to welcome the new employees who are somewhere in our audience. We just had a little chat with most of them. We're happy to have you here as new employees, most of you less than a few months with the port, and I'm sure you'll enjoy your employment. It's a great place to work. And also that I need as a administrative matter, need to note for those of you who do follow the schedule that the rental car overview will not be presented today. So if you're really hoping for that presentation, come back next month. And I need a motion and second to grant a leave of absence to Commissioner Pat McDonald, who is out of town.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. And I need motion approval for the minutes of the last commission meeting of May 11th, 2016.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries. And now I'll ask, one other thing. We are at 11 o'clock, so we need to be finished with this portion of the meeting by 11 o'clock. We do have the TSCC, which is an oversight, state oversight board, who is scheduled to be here to start another meeting. So I will be mindful and helping you be mindful, those of you who are presenting or testifying, that we need to hit that 11 o'clock cutoff time. So Bill, the executive director's report.
Okay, thank you very much. And for people who are new to Port Commission meetings, I will just repeat what I often say, and that is the executive director's report is actually a formal report that is filed and issued with the packets that go out to the commission and to members of the public in advance. And then I take advantage of this opportunity just to talk a little bit about what's transpired over the course of the last 30 days. The commission meets each month. And I want to start by acknowledging our monthly safety champions. The photos were on the screen, I think, a little earlier. And just to emphasize that safety is a very important part of our culture here for ourselves, for our employees, for our tenants, for the general public. And as a part of our commitment to increasing safety awareness for the commission, today's presenters and audience members, I'd like to share with you some important safety information about our location here. And on the screen behind me, this is what my notes are. There it is. Okay. And on the back table, you'll find an evacuation map. In the event of an emergency, port staff will escort everyone in the room through the doors, down the hall to stairwell 1, and out to the gathering area in the north lot, which is across the road from the central utility plant. Furthermore, please keep safety in mind as you arrive and or depart from port offices in your vehicles. As you know, leading cause of injuries nationwide is auto-related accidents. Recognize that the area of construction is around us. Weather conditions and pedestrian traffic may impact safe operations of your vehicle near and around PDX. Thank you for sharing our commitment to a safe work environment. And prior to concluding my report, I'd like to call on Cheryl Arpan, the Port's Risk Manager, to give this month's safety message.
Good morning. June is National Safety Month, and as part of that, individuals, organizations, and businesses are encouraged to emphasize reducing leading causes of injuries at work, on the road, in our homes, and in our communities. Furthermore, the American Heart Association, the American Red Cross, and the National Safety Council have designated June 1st through 7th each year as National CPR and AED Awareness Week. In support of these national awareness initiatives, this year our own Portland Airport and Fire and Rescue Team conducted CPR AED demonstrations at the PDX Clock Tower. That happened last week. Additionally, every week this month, the Port will be recognizing National Safety Month through various events and activities. Including this morning, Port employees and commissioners are invited to attend our Safety and Health Fair beginning at 10 o'clock this morning through 1 o'clock this afternoon, where we'll have 15 exhibitors on hand offering demonstrations and hands-on activities, including massages, acupuncture demonstrations, vision screenings, and so much more. We're encouraging everyone in attendance today to learn more about National Safety Month and ways they can incorporate safe behaviors at work, at home, on the road, and in your communities. Thank you for the opportunity to share this information with you today.
Thank you.
Great. And so first, I would also like to extend my appreciation for Mike Alexander for accepting the governor's appointment to the commission. And we look forward to working with you over the course of the next several years and hope that you enjoy your experience here, as I suspect you will. So this is a big day in many respects here. The EPA is really hit a milestone, and they will be releasing today the proposed site plan, which I think will give everybody a clearer sense about timeline and cost for the cleanup of the lower Willamette. I'm not really anticipating huge surprises. This has been the subject of 15 years worth of effort on the part of the Port and the other principally responsible parties, the expenditure of pretty close to $170 or $80 million by all of those parties to assess the nature of the challenge and to assist the EPA in developing this plan. But it's a moment because this is an effort that's going to come into much sharper focus. I would imagine that as a part of the release of the EPA's plan, there's going to be a lot of public conversation over the next few months as people focus on specific aspects of it. And to some people, it may feel as though this just fell, you know, from the sky, but obviously it's been the result of an immense amount of effort, our own staff included, and my kudos to them. This is tough work, very tough work, and it's not always happy, but we've got a great team here, and I think we'll be very, very well served as we move forward. I should also say that yesterday, I think it was, we received a really great piece of news from Business Oregon, which is the state agency in charge of business development and recruitment in Oregon, and that is that the Troutdale Reynolds Industrial Park has been certified as ready under the regionally significant industrial land readiness program. And what that means is we are now eligible for reimbursement for expenses that we incur from this point forward for infrastructure and other site development costs that are funded through taxes on the people who will ultimately be employed and the businesses that will be locating in the park. This is a new program, and we may be the first, I think we are probably the first entity to receive this readiness certification. And to be honest, it's a way for us to help finance the infrastructure that is necessary. The land, the industrial land that we own, isn't easy stuff. It's all big, challenging. The Troutdale Reynolds Industrial Park is the largest Superfund brownfield redevelopment in Oregon in history. That doesn't come easily. And so the potentially 17 million, up to, I think, 17 million, seven, we'll work on that, is going to be very helpful to us because the infrastructure costs on these projects are really significant. And this is a program which the port was very involved in getting the legislature to adopt. And so it's really great to see this full circle arrive. And I think in the metropolitan area, it is particularly important because really the only industrial land inside the urban growth boundary of significance has got some kind of challenge related to it. It's an opportunity on the one hand, but it's a challenge as well. So a real hats off to our staff here who've been working on this diligently over the course of the last many months. We are in the midst of doing statewide visits with shippers, people who are particularly affected by the now closure of Terminal 6. And we had our first visit in Albany. Thank you to Commissioner Levy for flying over to be with us. And really, it's an opportunity for people who are directly affected, whose products are now being trucked up to Seattle and Tacoma, to sit in a room with us and hear a little bit about what's happening, what we're up to, get a little more depth about the nature of the challenge and all of its dimensions. Ask questions, make comments. This was a really positive meeting. We have several more planned. We're going to Southern Oregon, Central Oregon, Eastern Oregon, all places that are very much affected by this. So, again, the team has done just a great job in identifying people who might be interested in this, and we had a great turnout. Related to that, Westwood did provide notice to their stakeholders, shippers largely, that May 21st was their final call. I would say final call for now, and that is in hopes that ultimately there is a resolution to the labor challenge there and that service will return to Terminal 6. I think in our biggest year back in 03 or 04, Terminal 6 handled pretty close to 300,000 TEUs. Just to put this in perspective, Westwood would handle about 150 a month. So this is not a huge service. Very difficult, I think, for the terminal operator to stay open for that small a volume, and that's a part of the factor. The other really big factor here is that freight rates, ocean freight rates, the cost of putting a container on a ship and sending it to Asia has really hit bottom. I think today there are rates for the typical kind of exports that we're seeing here in the $400, $500, $600 range, which is barely enough money to actually reposition the empty container. So that's a challenge as well. That's a market challenge that goes well beyond anything that we're directly involved in. On other news, the development and announcement of new routes out of PDX continues. You saw in the news the decision by Delta Airlines to initiate service between Portland and London Heathrow beginning next May. This is really terrific. I had the opportunity to go over with the Air Service development team and meet with Virgin Atlantic, which is 49% owned by Delta, so they have a very strong partnership, a few months ago. And Delta became so interested in the potential here that they decided to fly this with their own planes, which is really terrific and adds to their European network. They've already flown to Amsterdam. London is our largest unserved international market, and it's not really well served by any of our other international services because you basically fly over the top of London and have to come back. So this, I think, is going to be a terrific opportunity for us. Condor will be back here on Friday beginning their season. Iceland Air is already operating there 4 days a week. They're going to extend their season past the first of the year, hoping for some Christmas traffic, I think. And Sun Country Airlines announced seasonal nonstop service to Minneapolis, operating 5 days each week. And we're pretty confident we're going to see some more announcements on domestic travel, new markets, over the course of the next few weeks. So it's really, it's an amazing time here at the airport. As compared with last season, we expect to see about a 7% increase in traffic. There's a point at which that's going to be a problem. It's a good problem to have on the one hand, but we're beginning to see the outlines of congestion in front of us, just in terms of the number of gates that are available and our ability to process passengers. Most of this, of course, is driven by a strong local economy. Airports and local GDP go hand in glove together. When local GDP is strong, airports are strong. And you can certainly see that. I think the unemployment rate in our region right now is a little below 5%, and that really reflects itself in the nature of air travel. And so we're seeing that in every aspect of our business, whether it's concessions or rental cars or parking or passengers in the terminal building itself. And that reflects itself in airlines announcing more service. And so I would expect that we will see that soon. Also, I would say last week, our own Teresa Carr and Isaac Barrow helped celebrate a win for the PDX Logistics Center located right out here at the 2016 Portland Business Journal Commercial Real Estate Awards. Capstone Partners and McKinsey, both of whom we've worked a lot with over the years, accepted the honor, which showcases projects that are leading the way in design, function, and impact on the regional development landscape. And of course, PDX itself, the area surrounding PDX, is kind of the central logistics center for the entire state. And Capstone's project is really a first-rate project. PDX Community Advisory Committee meeting will meet June 22nd. And in this very room, the 30-member advisory committee, sponsored by the cities of Portland and Vancouver and the port, is charged with providing meaningful input on airport-related planning and development and overseeing implementation of the Airport Futures Plan, which was completed several years ago. And a highlight of the upcoming committee meeting will be a report from our own Kimberly Mitchell Phillips on our small business development program, which is really making great strides. And later, a big milestone for us today, you'll be considering the Troutdale Master Plan, which has been going on over the course of the last many, many months. Strongly held views about this, which is good news for the airport in Troutdale, and I think you'll find that very interesting. So that concludes my report.
Thank you for that. Any questions or comments? Is there a motion and second to approve the executive director's report?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thank you. Need also to know if any commissioner wants a presentation on the consent items. They are the equipment procurement contract, steel dredge discharge pipe for the navigation division, contract amendment to software and hardware maintenance and support agreement at the Portland International Airport, and lastly, personal services contracts, on-call environmental site assessment, site characterization, auditing, sampling, and remediation consulting services. Anybody want any detail on any one of those? Okay. So I need a motion and second for approval of the consent items. All in favor? Opposed? That carries. Thank you. And Keith, you're going to do the first item here, property sale. You're doing actually the first two items, which are property sales. Good morning.
Good morning. So, and I'll grab the mouse there. So we have a great opportunity this morning to bring two land sales to you at Gresham Vista. Just kind of in the overview, I'll talk a little bit about the context for those two land sales to make sure you're oriented geographically as well as kind of the context of our industrial land business.
And I would, sorry for interrupting, Keith, but I think that's a really good idea, a little historical background, because we do have four new commissioners.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, so that's exactly what we had in mind. And when you, if you kind of trace back our, I'll say the modern era of the port's industrial development activities, it stretches back to around 2006, 2007, when we made a very intentional decision running very short on industrial property at Rivergate, Portland International Center, Swan Island, to go out and acquire property. And the first major investment was TRIP, Troutdale Reynolds Industrial Park, that Bill mentioned, largest brownfield redevelopment in the state. It continues to be a pretty amazing story. That's not so much the story today, but we invested heavily in TRIP, roughly around $30 million in the first phase, plus the acquisition. The second phase of TRIP is another $40 million, and we've been able to leverage a lot of federal, state, local funding as well into that development. In 2010, we kind of doubled down in East Multnomah County from an industrial land standpoint and acquired the Gresham Vista site. This site, and I'm going to go to the next slide just to orient you, sitting right in the middle is the ON Semiconductor plant. That currently is home to about 750 employees. This used to be LSI Logic, and so LSI purchased this overall site in the 90s. They had intended to build a campus there of chip manufacturing type activities. That business never really came to fruition. They sold ON Semiconductor, and all of the land around ON Semiconductor sat vacant from the 90s all the way till 2010, when the port, working with the city of Gresham, acquired the site. And we did so, again, based on a very intentional strategy within the region, working with our commission to try and hold on to these larger industrial sites that the region here in the metropolitan area is running pretty low on. And those large sites typically have a lot of, quote, hair on them. So they're somewhat complicated. We master planned the Gresham Vista site. We've been, I'll call it, the patient public developer since 2010. We've done some development there in large part. These parcels are development ready. They're ready for the market. We were just kind of waiting for the market to show up. And we were very fortunate in later last year to do the Subaru deal. And that really, I'll say, put Gresham Vista on the development map for industrial development in our region. Right now, the Subaru plant, and can we go back one slide, Steve? Sorry about that. You can see the Subaru facility. This is international imports coming from Japan. This is a 600,000 square foot warehousing distribution logistics facility that will essentially service all their distribution needs along the West Coast. That project will be operational later this year and was constructed by Trammell Crow, who we are talking to and who we are recommending entering into an agreement with on lots 1, 2, 3. When you look at lot 9, so the two transactions that are in front of you, we call them spec deals. And so speculative industrial development, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, will we get a spec project in Gresham, I'd say probably not. It'll probably be more of a user-based type deal. This is great news for the community of Gresham. This is great news for Gresham Vista, because really the professional development community, backed by their financial investors, are betting on the future of this community now. And so with Lot 9, we have great fortune to work with Greg Speck, who is here. If you could wave. Greg is owner of Speck Development, not speculative development, but Greg Speck Development, longtime Portland-based developer. We've worked with Greg on industrial land issues over the year, but this is the first time when we've been able to partner with his company on a deal. And so it's great news for us. Lot 9 is roughly 37 acres. The other deal that's in front of you is with Trammell Crow. Steve Wells, I believe, is here, who heads up Trammell Crow in the Portland region here. You've seen Steve many times. Cascade Station, Alderwood Corporate Center, which is another spec development that was built in the 90s, Rivergate Corporate Center out in Rivergate. Longtime history with Trammell Crow, but having two world-class developers and their investment partners investing in our business park is critically important and really a great sign that we've arrived here with this site. Last thing I'll just mention is Lot 5 is really the last large 50-acre development-ready site in our region. It is kind of top of the list when you have folks that are coming from outside looking at these big opportunities that are more user-based opportunities, not so much speculative industrial development. We will hold on to Lot 5, working closely with the city of Gresham to really maximize the economic value that the city and the port and the region get from the development of that site. But we're very optimistic about really the future of Gresham Vista, and these two deals really solidify its place in the industrial space in the region. So with that, I'm going to ask Doug to present Lot 9, and then we'll have Isaac come up and do Lots 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Keith, and good morning, Commissioners. Good morning. My name is Doug Smith. I'm in the Industrial Properties Group, and it's my pleasure this morning to provide additional detail, as Keith introduced, about the Lot 9 transaction. Keith's stolen my next slide on the spec development history, but we'll provide some additional detail about Gresham Vista itself, Lot 9 in particular, their proposed conceptual development plan, and then present to you the sale terms. Just briefly, Greg Specht is here this morning. His president, Todd Schaefer, is en route, and Jason Clough, who's been the project manager for this, is also here this morning. It's been a pleasure for me to work with the Specht team. They, as Keith said, they are very well recognized and appreciated throughout the community. They've been active in pretty much every major industrial submarket throughout the Portland area, from now in Woodburn, through to Vancouver and Ridgefield. They're based in Tigard near Washington Square. Most notably for here in and around the airport, much of Airport Way on the east side of Interstate 205, when it first started to develop as an industrial area, Greg and his team was at the forefront of that, starting at the 138th and Airport Way interchange, and most recently with their Interstate Crossroads project at 166th, just north of Airport Way, that's very visible along Marine Drive there just to the east of us. So Keith provided an overview of Gresham Vista itself. The transaction before you this morning is in the lower left in green, Lot 9. You'll hear from Isaac Barrow about Lots 1, 2, and 3. it's on the western side of the park. It's along Northeast 223rd Avenue, which provides if you go up to 23rd and then left on Gleason, Interstate 84 is less than 2 miles from the park, so it provides within 5 minutes you're at Interstate 84, which of course is the major east-west freeway. Within 10 minutes you're at Interstate 205. So in many ways, this park, it's not visible from the freeway, but its accessibility is really first class. Lot 9 itself, the primary access will be off of 223rd We are extending, the city of Gresham is extending off of Stark. Northeast Hood Avenue will be extended and do a cul-de-sac to serve lots 8 and 9. So primary access will be off of Stark. And just Gresham City Hall just for is about a mile, less than a mile south on 223rd. So this is then an aerial of the site in particular. This is looking east. So the vista in Gresham Vista, of course, is Mount Hood, is just approximately here. The particular, I guess, unique issues associated with this particular land, there is a slope constraint on the in this corner of the property that slopes down onto lot 10, and then there is a fair amount of slope here along 223rd. Again, the primary access will be off of here, and then Hood Avenue is being extended into a cul-de-sac at this point. Their proposed development conceptual plan, again, this is the site, and the proposal is to construct three buildings on Lot 9, the largest of which is close to 500,000 square feet. It's a very large facility, similarly sized to their Interstate Crossroads building at Northeast 166th. And then two smaller buildings, the 125,000 square foot range. All of these could be for a single user, or they could be divided either in two or four, or really however. They're very flexible in terms of how they could be configured for potential tenants. And actually, just yesterday, we learned that they've branded this park as Vista Logistics Park. So if you go to VistaLogisticsPark.com, they have very attractive aerials showing artists' rendering of how this park would sit, as well as how each site would be presented to potential users. Building C in particular, it's double loaded, meaning it can have access from either side and also could potentially be secured at this point so that a single user could take full advantage of the property. It's also 36 foot clear height, which is a particularly tall building. And I think SPECT has researched the market very carefully and feels that this is between San Francisco and Seattle could potentially be one of the most attractive buildings of its kind. So the transaction before you this morning, again, the gross acreage on the lot is 37.415 acres. I discussed the constrained area, that slope on the northwest corner and along 223rd. Both their survey as well as our internal surveyor has determined and agreed that constrained area is approximately 1.898 acres, slightly less than 2 acres. So the net developable area would be 35.517. There's no brokerage commission involved, although they will work very closely with the brokerage community, Capacity Commercial in particular, but other brokers to list and represent the site for potential users. We did a very careful, thorough analysis of the market based on recent land transactions, including our own at Lot 4, others in the neighborhood, and have set the sale price at $6 a square foot for this particular lot. The frontage on this lot is somewhat different than the Gleason Street lot. It's larger than the Gleason Street lot, lots 1, 2, and 3. So we believe that $6 is an appropriate and a fair market value for the property, which would result in just under $9.3 million in revenue to the port. Provided your approval this morning, the construction, they would submit for city building permits shortly. They have activated a design review process both with the city as well as with the Port of Portland, so we have an opportunity to review their drawings prior to submittal to the city for building permit, with a proposed construction time frame of getting into construction this summer and completing by next summer for users. So the recommendation before you is that you approve the executive director's recommendation to approve the sale of Lot 9 at Gresham Vista Business Park to Spect Development, Inc. If there are questions, I'd be happy to answer any for you.
Okay. Any questions or comments? I think you and your predecessors have done a great job, you collectively here, at developing this area, and it's really exciting to see it continue to get purchased and locate new buildings and new opportunities. And your work with the City of Gresham has been great, and our appreciation to the City of Gresham for being such a good partner on this project. So need a motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully Spec Development won't put a big yellow O on this any of these buildings out there.
We can only allow that in our design standards.
Sitting here, I refrain from that reference.
I've already buried the Oregon State jersey in the property before they got to it, so good. We're good.
I wasn't suggesting that'd be a good alternative.
But we won't be the Stanford jersey. We won't bury that.
Good morning.
So we will move on straight into lots 1, 2, and 3, and Isaac Barrow from our properties group will present the item.
Thank you for the intro. Good morning, commissioners. As mentioned, I'm here to present the sale of lots 1, 2, and 3 to the Trammell Crow Company. We'll look at briefly some background on the Trammell Crow, dive into some specifics on the property, look at the proposed development plans, review some projects and development considerations that are already underway as part of the overall development of Gresham Vista, and review the sale terms. Trammell Crow, as mentioned in the intro by Keith, has been very active in the Portland area since the late 70s. They have developed numerous projects in millions of square feet, a number of which have been in partnership with the port and on port property. A couple highlights, I think Keith already referenced the Cascade Station Corporate Center, a premium office facility just to the east of our current location in Cascade Station. They've also developed the Rockwood Corporate Center, the Rivergate Corporate Center, and are nearing completion of the Subaru Master Distribution Facility at Gresham Vista. Lots 1, 2, and 3, by now you're probably becoming very familiar with this map. It's a handy reference for us. Lots 1, 2, and 3 are in the northeast corner of the property. They are fronted by Gleason Street and directly north of the Subaru development. Once developed by Trammell Crow, the site will become the Gleason Corporate Park. We'll feature three facilities ranging in size from 154 to 190,000 square feet. The facilities are speculative industrial development and are being designed for and will be marketed to a range of users from distribution to light manufacturing. This site does have a number of positive attributes, including excellent visibility to Gleason Street. Trammell Crow is designing and investing in the northern facade of buildings 2 and 3 to make sure that they are attractive and appropriate to the visibility of the site. The site also features excellent access off of Gleason and will have, once developed, two vehicle access points, one directly north of Building 2 and another directly north of Building 3. The more attractive vehicle parking will be on the northern side of the development, and there will be a central truck access point that will provide for truck access to the center, nicely concealed truck corridor that will serve all three buildings. Another amenity that's been incorporated into the design, which is a key feature and in demand by a lot of tenants, is trailer parking. And the site will feature trailer parking on the south side of Building 3, well screened from public view, but available to the tenants. The projects currently underway that are part of the port's overall development of the park include the installation of a new underground electrical line on the west side of Lot 1. This will allow for the removal of an overhead line that currently exists between Lots 2 and 1. Additionally, we've granted PGE an electrical easement between 2 and 3, and this summer we'll complete construction of water service along the eastern edge of Lot 3 and the northern and along Gleason Street as well. All of these projects were previously contemplated as part of the overall park development. Sale terms contemplated in the purchase sale agreement include the full 28.74 acres, earnest money to be deposited by Trammell Crowe in the amount of $100,000. No brokerage commission has been considered as part of this transaction either. And the purchase price of $7.82 million was based on a per square foot rate of $6.25. The schedule is very similar to the other schedule previously reviewed. With your approval today, the project will move into a due diligence period. The transaction is anticipated to close in September. Following close, the port will partner with Trammell Crowe, the marketing team they selected at CBRE, and the City of Gresham's Economic Development Group to market the site and attract key and quality tenants to the property. A note on the City of Gresham, their Economic Development Office has been fully supportive of this project since its inception and is prepared to work with the marketing team to extend the available incentives to qualify tenants that we're able to attract. The development is scheduled to be complete in the third quarter of next year. And with that, I would like to request your approval of the executive director's recommendation and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Questions or comments? Again, thanks for the work as part of this project, and looks like another terrific opportunity. So is there a motion and second?
Second.
All those in favor? Opposed? So motion carries. Thank you very much. Good luck. So, Keith, I guess you are also doing the ground lease.
Yes, sir.
Presentation with Don.
Okay. Yep.
Great.
Good morning again. So this item will request approval to enter into a long-term ground lease agreement with MAJ Airport LLC for the development of a fueling station and travel center here at the airport. This particular project has been long in the coming. We've been working on getting gas station type services here for a long time. We thought we had a deal with Cascade Station. There was actually a pad out there that would allow for it. The deal ultimately fell through 3 or 4 years ago. We went out to the market. We had a slightly different site, but nearby to the site that is the subject of this agenda item. That deal fell through, and part of the complexity for this type of development has been the lack of rooftops. Typically, a gas station developer is going to want to be, you know, close to neighborhoods. At an airport, you don't have that, but you do have a significant employment base here coming and going, and obviously a travel public that needs these services. So this site is really the right site. Adjacent to it, we will be consolidating taxi cab holding. So where the taxi cabs are, they will go adjacent to this site out along 82nd and Air Cargo Road. And we will be offering a cell phone waiting lot associated with this development and various amenities associated with that. So also, I just wanted to introduce Mike Jenkins from MAJ. Mike here. Who is the developer for this project, and who I know our staff has had a great working relationship over a fairly long period now of getting to this point. So with us to present the item is Don Goldberg.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to present this project to you. As Keith has mentioned, it's been something that my staff has been working on. We believe it's going to be a great opportunity for the community, as well as, most importantly, an additional service to our patrons here at the airport. So, as Bill had mentioned earlier, our count for our passenger count is going up dramatically. Our number of employees here have gone up. We have a lot of traffic in the area, and so the need for a fueling station has become that much more important. So we're very excited about this opportunity to present this to you. So as Keith has mentioned, MAJ is the development company. They're a local company based out of Vancouver. Michael Jenkins, the owner of the company, has a deep background in commercial real estate, as well as he has built approximately 60 projects in the region since 2006, and they're very similar to this type of project. It's a great opportunity for us. He's a preferred developer for 7-Eleven, 24-Hour Fitness, Sherwin-Williams, 7-Eleven and such. So really a wonderful, pretty site. As Keith had mentioned, there's some construction going out right now. We are moving around some of our current facilities, and one of them that we're moving is the QTA, which is the quick turnaround lot, which is where we house our taxis and limos and vehicles similar to that. They currently are in the they will be moving to behind this site. And as you can see in red, the current cell phone lot is going to be moving on site to this development where the green is. The location of this development is on the corner of Northeast Air Cargo Road and Northeast 82nd Avenue, right across from Embassy Suites. A great location for traffic. And many of you probably are aware that on Colwood, which is approximately a mile from here, the new major facility for the U.S. Postal Service will be going there, who will have approximately 1,400 employees. So this will serve our airport, our patrons, our employees, and the employees of the region. So this is a little animation that was given to us. It really gives you a great idea of the quality and the layout of the project. It's heavily parked, as you can see, the gas station right there. It will be an 18-pump gas station, the largest 7-Eleven gas station in the nation. 7-Eleven is going to be putting in a very new concept as their convenience store, as well as Starbucks and a couple of other users that are in the process of being under negotiation. Very, very high-end, super nice project to fit into our Cascade Station as well as our airport. This is, gives you a little layout. So the QTA parking lot is to your left. To the right of that is where the cell holding lot is, cell phone holding lot for those people who are waiting to pick up passengers. They'll be able to have a convenient location to stay. They'll have food as well as gas. And so it's just another service for our airport. In terms of the key business terms, it's a 20-year lease with 4 or 5-year options. On the 26th year, the developer will be retrofitting it to make sure that the project is up to date. It has a gas station, convenience store, and 3 fast food uses. It's approximately 3.5 acres. The annual rent is $75,000 with every 5 years a 12.5% increase. In terms of the schedule, we are trying to get this up as soon as possible. The developer has been working on it hard, and so they're expecting to break ground this summer, and hopefully by the end of the year, the first phase will be complete, with the second phase coming very close after. Potentially, it might be all built at one time. So we're looking for a recommendation. Staff requests approval of the executive director's recommendation to lease approximately 3.44 acres of property located here at the Portland International Airport to MAJ Airport, LLC. And if you have any questions, I'd be
willing
to
have
questions
or comments?
I just have one. Have we leased to 7-Elevens before as the port? Do you know?
I'm not familiar.
Not that I'm aware of.
And the 7-Eleven lease would not be with the port. It would be with the master developer, MHA.
Okay. So but we don't have any of these direct.
So
there
they
are no
have
direct lease relationships.
So the tenants of the development would be sublessees.
Okay.
Just one question.
Yeah.
When you use the term high-end,
We wanted to make sure that the standards we're in line with the standards that we have here at the airport. So there's a minimum amount of money that the development has to put in. And of course, we, as you saw on the renderings, our staff here has been working very close with their architect and the development team to approve the standards that we require here.
So it doesn't include the quality of merchandise sold in the 7-Eleven store?
High-end I was referring to was the quality of the construction and the and the landscaping and the things of that nature. 7-Eleven actually is based in Texas and is coming, and this will be a corporate store. So it we expect it to be as nice a convenience store as you can have.
Any other questions, comments? Yeah, Gary?
Are there charging stations considered?
There will be car charging stations as well as screens for departure and arrival as well.
Good question. Any other comments, questions? Is there a motion and second for this project? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Good luck.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to it. And Vince, I think you're the next two items here. This first one, the public improvement contract amendment.
Yes, good morning. We're here to request approval for a contract amendment for the central utility plant. In January, you approved the purchase of a chiller for our central utility plant, and we've gone through the design and we're ready to do the installation of that. For project safety convenience, we would like to amend a contract here to combine this work with the QTA project, and George is going to talk to you about the amendment.
Thank you, Vince. So, as Vince said, today we're asking approval for an amendment of the Hoffman QTA project for about $5.8 million. This rendering shows the location of the CUP essentially directly behind us and shows the proximity to the QTA construction as well as the employee lot, as you may have noticed, being constructed as you come in today. By combining this project with the Hoffman QTA project, we can reduce the risk. They are having very similar contractors, similar time on schedule, and the risk and the safety improvement by having one contractor do work in the same location is pretty paramount to us. Also, we found out recently that the QTA project is going to have to run some major electrical feeds right through the CUP chiller project site. So by having one contractor do it, it really improves our posture on safety. At the same time, Hoffman was in the middle of bidding their work for the QTA. So since the CUP chilled water project drawings were done, we were able to amend the contract and get competitive pricing before they had awarded contracts on the QTA. The overall project scope will be install the new 2,400-ton chiller and cooling towers. Here at PDX, the chillers cool down water to about 42 degrees that goes out to the air handlers in the terminal building that then keeps the air handlers cool. The chiller uses a refrigeration cycle and electricity to power the chillers to cool the water down, and then the waste heat off those off the chiller is dumped outside to the cooling towers. We'll be installing the new chiller, the cooling towers, and at the same time we're taking the opportunity to replace two existing cooling towers that are reaching the end of their life. Also require piping pipes and controls for this project. Commission has seen this project in August of 2015 for the design, and then as Vince mentioned, in January for the pre-purchase of the chiller itself. The chiller and cooling towers are being fabricated with planned delivery for November timeframe. With the approval of this contract, construction will start in September timeframe. We'll go really through middle of second quarter next year when we'll get the new chillers and cooling towers online before the summer heating season, and then certify them and qualify them and commission them all through kind of the summer with completion by the end of the third quarter. When Commission last saw this project, they had a $10.8 million budget. With this negotiated contract with Hoffman, we're able to reduce our risk, or with a reduction in risk, we're able to reduce the contingency down about 5% of the overall project to reduce the budget to about $9.7 million of funding for this is through the Airline Cost Center. Staff recommends approval of the Executive Director's recommendation. Any questions?
So given that this is just an amendment, we don't have to go through a competitive open process for this piece?
No.
Is that? Yeah, okay.
Correct. It's just like any other change order to the Hoffman contract or any other CMGC contract.
Questions or comments? Yeah.
The reduction?
Contingency.
Yes, Steve, can you go back real quick? It's really reduced to now that we have a construction contract, our risk is much lower. We have a guaranteed max project with Hoffman. We've already purchased the chiller, so we know what their prices are firm. So our overall risk is lower. So that's why we're able to reduce the contingency.
Quick question. The previous slide where you showed the reduced... The revised project cost?
Yeah.
Is it reflective of this amendment cost?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Right, just our estimates. And as you see, the original budget... go back one. There we go. So the original budget had about 20%. Contingency, which is pretty much normal for a project of that type during design. But once we get competitive bids, we can then adjust our contingencies down.
Okay. Thank you.
And, go ahead.
Are the chillers of the same manufacturer of the current
chiller? Yes. The new one is a Johnson Controls York chiller, which is maybe not all of them, but most of the chillers in the plant. But that was a competitive process when we awarded it. Johnson met our environmental goals, our efficiency goals, as well as was lowest price.
Excellent. Okay. I think you've answered all the questions so far. Anybody else have a question? Okay. Is there a motion and second on this request? Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Thanks, George. Okay. So, Vince, you also have the Troutdale presentation, you and Steve.
Can I yes. do one little walk-on item here? I just want to take one quick moment to recognize our own Tom Peterson, who's right back here hiding in the crowd, who is just... recently recognized by the Oregon Society of Professional Engineers as Oregon's Engineer of the Year. And we're really proud of Tom, and he's had a long and terrific career here at the port and involved in every major project that has made this place what it is. Tom, thank you.
Good morning. So we are here this morning to request approval to submit the Troutdale Master Plan, which shows an airport layout plan consistent with a future 4,500-foot runway to the FAA for review and acceptance. And first, we really have to start by thanking the entire 23-member Planning Advisory Committee, or PAC. They participated in, was it 14?
11
meetings. 11 meetings over about a two-year period. So it was
let me just...
Yes, sir.
I apologize for the interruption, but the way we're going to do this is we will have the presentation by our staff, the same routine we usually use. There are some people who have signed up that wish to speak on this topic. We'll have those people speak, and we'll keep those comments, hopefully, to the minimum necessary. And then we may come back to you, the three of you, for any follow-up needed before we consider a vote on the matter. Okay? Go ahead, Ben. Sorry.
No problem. So, again, 11 meetings, 2 years. Travis Stovall is here with us. He was the chair of the PAC. I really appreciate all of his effort. Also want to acknowledge the mayor of Troutdale, Doug Doust. And while he wasn't a member of the PAC, but he spent a significant amount of time at these meetings and participated very actively in it as well. You know, when we started this process, we were willing to consider the closure of Troutdale Airport, possibly among a range of alternatives. What we really wanted to do was to find out how the community felt about the airport, and we certainly learned that in that time. The truth is, the airport is part of the system of airports. You look at PDX, Hillsborough, Troutdale, amongst the other state-owned airports and private airports. It is a system of airports. And we came to understand through that time that the community has a significant desire for more economic development in Troutdale. And what we really decided that we needed to do is to find a balance of the airport development and a range of competing priorities that are going on out in East County. Through our planning process, we found out there are opportunities to more efficiently organize airport facilities to a different location on the airport, and to create opportunities for compatible industrial development that will help the airport become more financially sustainable. And at the same time, it also helped that region and that area of the community be reach some other important economic development goals. What we also learned here very much is that we need to partner with that region with both the city and the community. Similar to our work with Gresham, as you saw earlier on the Gresham developments, we want to partner with the city of Troutdale and other stakeholders to market and develop the airport with the goal of increasing the community benefits to the airport. So today what we're proposing is a master plan for the Troutdale Airport. It preserves the airport's role within the regional system of airports, but it also places the airport on a path to becoming more financially sustainable. And we're going to do that by constructing appropriately sized facilities and controlling our operating costs and creating new revenue opportunities through diversification. So Steve is here. He's our general aviation manager. He was obviously the lead of this. And then Travis is going to speak first, however, and just give some comments from our public advisory group.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to present some perspectives of the PAC and the PAC's recommendation. First off, I want to tell you a little bit about myself just to get a little background of the chair. I actually am a resident of Gresham. I run a technology company that's headquartered there. I know that's a surprise. Most people don't think of technology when they think of Gresham. But we do. We do exist. And I actually have a desire to have our corporate aviation department out of Troutdale at some point. I am actually a pilot. I've been a pilot around aviation for 20 years. I spent roughly 10 years specifically looking at economic advocacy and development in East County. So I get to bring a very comprehensive approach and perspective to this process to make sure that we're balancing the things that Vince just talked about, that great balance between economic development and the aviation and the support that this economic development will need as East County continues to grow and prosper. As with any process, you know, there's going to be the agreements, there's going to be the disagreements, there's going to be the different interpretations of data and information, as I'm sure you are aware. And we had all of that in the many meetings over 20 months going through this process. As you start to talk about, as Vince referenced, the ideas and the continuums of potentially closing the airport and then leaving it the same and not touching the 5,200 foot of runway we currently have, there's a number of emotions that can come to play as you look at that, and we saw that. But we really wanted to make sure that we're looking at the data and information. As a matter of fact, the PAC took the opportunity to weigh the priorities of how we were going to make this decision. So it was really a data-driven idea when it came to how are we going to weight these priorities. And the number one that came from the PAC as we began to study over last summer was the financial. That was the number one perspective. And we looked, the PACT actually said, we want to make sure that we've got that at the forefront. Some other items that I'm sure you've already looked at, the overall report and information, looked at things like making sure that we're looking at the environment, making sure that we're balancing the community need, making sure we're looking at after the public asset the way it needs to be looked after. So all of those things were considered as we took this journey to be able to give you the best recommendation that we possibly can. And I believe we do. I believe we do have a phenomenal recommendation in regards to the balance of everything. Now, again, when you're trying to search for balance, rarely are you going to make everybody exceedingly happy. And if you did, you probably didn't do something right, most likely. So the recommendation, of course, as you know, is Alternative C. As we looked at the alternatives and gave them letters, is a 4,500-foot long runway, 75 feet wide, moving that aviation-focused and related infrastructure from the north side down to the south and southeast, again, as Vince referenced, and consolidating those to better utilize the property and the asset that we currently have there, and then ensuring that infrastructure fits into this airport system that exists across the three ports, airports of Hillsboro, PDX, and now Troutdale. So this, I truly believe that this recommendation strikes that balance that we talked about. And I believe that it truly honors the ideas that the PAC, the community, all presented. We had numerous opportunities for the PAC to give their thoughts and ideas, but we also reached out to communities, did some tours around the airport, looked at the industrial properties. The process included a lot of data and information that we had the opportunity and the ability to take in and then process to ensure we were making the right decision. I want to close by saying something that I think was very evident this morning so far in the idea of East Multnomah County. We now have the opportunity with this investments and the other investments that the port has made in East Multnomah County to, I think, be good, great stewards, not good stewards, but great stewards of, I believe, a long ignored part of our incredible region. And that's, again, East County. The port, and I applaud the port tremendously and give them great commendation for all of the work, taking this incredible brown site that you see behind you, that's right there by Troutdale Airport, and actually investing in that and bringing it up to development-ready land, making the investment in Gresta Business Park, being a patient investor to assist to make sure this region has the living wage jobs and the economic opportunities that exist in other parts of the region. I believe that this airport and the recommendation we're moving forward today provides us with great sustainability, great balance, and a tremendous opportunity to continue to show the commitment that this region has to investing in this important, truly important asset that we call East Multnomah County. I want to go. I also want to do the same thing as Vince did in his closing comments and thank the PAC, thank the port and the staff. They did a tremendous, tremendous job and effort of giving us all the data and information we asked for and some. Thank our facilitator. I know he's here, Sam Impertati. He did a phenomenal job, and he got higher scores than I did. So that alone is something I've got to work on. But I also want to thank the elected officials from Troutdale, Mayor Doug Dowse. I know Councilor Glenn White is here. They put a lot of effort into making sure that they were part of the process, they were well-informed, and they had an opportunity to give us that information and give us their perspectives and their insights, which went into, I believe, this recommendation. Again, that brings us this balance that we've been talking about so far. So thank you again for listening to me, and thank you again for your focus and interest in this incredible asset that we have here in East County.
Well, thanks for your work and your presentation, and we'll let Steve do the presentation now.
Thank you very much.
Can I just ask one quick question?
Yeah.
Because if I wait until the very end, I'm not going to remember what question I was going to ask. PAC, you said, how many members or volunteers served on that advisory group, and what sectors of our community were represented?
I will cover that with the presentation.
Part of the presentation.
It's part of the presentation. Yes, Commissioner.
Good.
Thank you very much for good morning, and thank you for this opportunity to be here to talk about the Troutdale Master Plan. I would just like to echo Travis's comments too. The Mayor Dowse is here, Councilor White, as well as Bobby Lee from the Governor's Regional Solutions Team. Bobby was actually a member of our Project Advisory Committee, and so I just wanted to recognize him and the other Project Advisory Committee members that are here. This agenda item requests approval to submit the Troutdale Airport Master Plan, including the airport layout plan, with the 4,500-foot runway to the FAA for its review and acceptance. In 2014, the port initiated this update to the Troutdale Airport Master Plan to provide a roadmap for development, operation, and investment at the Troutdale Airport over the next 20 years. The study was designed to assist us in determining what role we would do with this 260-acre asset, the airport we have, as well as meeting the port's mission. In order to determine this role of the airport, management required a deeper understanding of the complex relationship between Troutdale Airport and the other airports in the region, including PDX. To support the development of this plan, the port established a planning advisory committee. This gets to the question here of who was on our project advisory committee, made up of 23 members to help the port assess the future and recommend the optimum role for the airport over the 20-year period, planning period. The PAC members represented a broad range of community, government, and commercial interests. Two PAC members were non-voting ex officio members. That was myself from the port, as well as the FAA's representative. The PAC was engaged in supplemental public comments at milestones along the way, including we had 11 PAC meetings, two community open houses, one special topic meeting. We also attended quarterly tenant meetings with all of our airport tenants who would attend, the two Troutdale Summer Festivals, some of the largest festivals in the city during the two-year period, as well as Troutdale First Friday. Through the two-year process, a plan emerged that was guided by a triple bottom line sustainability goals that balance economic, environmental, and social interests. The PAC identified and considered 7 evaluation categories with which to evaluate the development of alternatives, as Travis had mentioned. Those evaluation categories you see here included alignment with the forecasted aviation and industrial land uses, the community economic benefits, the community planning compatibility, and the environmental impacts of each of the alternatives, the financial impacts to the ports of each of the alternatives, do they fit within the system of airports, the local airports, and what is the legal feasibility of each option. The reason I show this very complex slide is because the things in black were developed by the project team. The items in red were actually added to the evaluation categories by the PAC. So they had a huge impact on how we evaluated the alternatives. As a result of this evaluation, the PAC initially identified 2 alternatives, B and C. Both alternatives continued Troutdale's role as a general aviation airport and accommodated over 99% of the current and the future forecasted aviation operations at the airport. Alternative B, which you see here, it was a 3,600-foot runway by 75 feet wide. It was critical aircraft was determined to be the Beechcraft King Air turboprop. And over the 20-year period, as leases expire and aviation activities on the north side of the field of the runway would be relocated to the south side of the airport, again, as leases expired over the 20-year period. Over that same 20-year period, the 56 acres on the north side would be redeveloped for industrial, and the additional 20 acres at the far west end of the airport would be reserved for industrial. Alternative C, which was a 4,500-foot long runway and 75 feet wide, the runway length was determined by 2 factors, the existing roadways at the east and west end of the airport, Graham Road and Sundial and Marine Drive. Similar to Alternative B, as leases expired on the north side of the airport, those businesses would be relocated to the south side. Over that same 20-year period, approximately that same 56 acres on the north side would be redeveloped for industrial. By a majority vote of the PAC, the PAC recommended Alternative C, which you see here, which maintains the maximum flexibility for increased aviation development at Troutdale. In making the recommendation, the PAC recognized that jobs and private sector investments are critical to improving the demographics of East County. The PAC's final report summarized the work and recommendations of the PAC over the two-year planning process, which Travis alluded to. Both the process and the final port staff recommendations were informed by the work of the PAC and the related public outreach that we kind of covered before. In addition to recommending the approval of Alternative C, the PAC included recommendations to emphasize continuing commitment to manage the airport as an important part of the region. Regional system of transportation system of airports, and continue to work with tenants as the plan is implemented and businesses transition from their old locations to new locations on the south side, and to continue the partnership with the city of Troutdale and other stakeholders to track the implementation. And that leaves us to the last photo of, which is essentially the existing condition with airport businesses on both the north and the south side, the future condition with, after the 20-year period as leases expire, relocation to the south side, redevelopment of the north side, as well as the new runway itself.
Okay, so and we're going to continue to try and stay on this time schedule because we can't shift this other meeting, but we'll have time to finish this. So I will take the names of the people who are signed up to speak, and I would just ask that they keep their comments as short as possible. To the extent you've submitted a written comment, we as commissioners have had that document or documents, and we've taken the opportunity to look at those. I would also say that we as a commission, and me in particular, had assigned a commissioner, in this case Commissioner Levy, to participate along the way in this process. So I think we've had our hands on this for a time. It's a very thorough report. Appreciate all the public's commitment to the time it's taken to talk about this and labor over something that has come out as a recommendation. So with that, and you were about to say something, Steve.
Mayor Dallas was here and would like to speak on behalf.
Right.
Well.
I've got his name. I have actually Mayor Dallas and Commissioner White also. But let me go to the first list and Joe Smith. But let me go to the people who were on here first. I think Representative Gorsuch is maybe the first on the list. So if you wouldn't mind coming up. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleased to
it's
have
a pleasure
you here.
Pleasure to be here. I'll try and keep this very brief. So good morning. I'm State Representative Chris Gorsuch. I am the House District 49 representative for East Multnomah County, which does include the Troutdale Airport. I am here today to speak with you a little bit about the master plan, which we've heard a lot about already. And by the way, may I say that I long knew that the Port of Portland would be, and the city of Gresham would be, the people that would really move Gresham Vista. So kudos to all of you.
Thank you.
I'm glad I was right about that. So in terms of the current plan, I do have just a couple of concerns. I've talked to some of my constituents. Many of them are folks that use or operate facilities at the airport. And one of their biggest concerns is not so much the idea of moving forward with industry. I think that's a very good thing. There, one of the big concerns is shortening the runway from 45, I think it's at 52 right now, down to 45. And it would be, I think, at least worth considering that piece, just trying to keep that 5,000. As I understand it, it would make it easier for business jets to be able to, of a larger size, to be able to continue to use the airport. And that would seem to me, I mean, Hillsborough certainly does a lot of that. And that would certainly seem to me, as East County is developing, as we've seen today in some very exciting projects, that we would probably want to keep that option open. And I fear that if we do take the plan at 4,500, that that might close that off for good. So that's one concern. And the other one was a lot of the folks, and I understand that the changes occur when the leases expire, but a lot of the folks are worried about being able to relocate to the other side of the runway, mainly because the claim is that it's fairly difficult to get money to finance a building on leased land rather than land that you own. So in closing, I like the plan. I just would like to see a couple of minor tweaks, and I can answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. And I think that you'll find when Steve Nagy comes back up here, he can answer okay. or respond at least to your couple of questions there, because I know it's in the material. So right. Appreciate your being here.
Thanks very much.
Thank
yeah.
you. Mayor Doust.
Yeah, Yes, thank you very much for having me. I've been on the council 20 years and mayor for 4 years. During all that time, the partnership with the City of Troutdale and the Port of Portland has been strong, and it's been a continuous relationship. During my career with the U.S. Forest Service, I ran an aviation program for 13 years, in which we flew 500 flight hours per year with 7 pilots and 5 aircraft, covering every single forested acre in the state of Oregon and Washington, and digitally mapping all the insect and disease problems in both states. So I came to the PAC meetings with both my mayor background and my aviation background, and I watched how the PAC meetings were held closely. As a federal employee for 42 years, I'm also familiar with how public meetings are handled and the proper way that they're handled. So I was watching that to see that things were handled properly, that all the different opinions were vetted, that the analysis was done appropriately, that things were fair. And I came away from the PAC meetings, which I attended most of them, even though I wasn't a member, feeling comfortable with the way that the meetings were handled. And I felt comfortable with Alternative C as a recommendation from the PAC meeting. I did share the two concerns, or the one concern that Representative Gorsuch brought up about the businesses on the north side having to move to the south side, and the cost of redeveloping on the south side. I did share that concern, but I was reassured by the port that that would be highly monitored. The analysis and the assumptions that were built into the product you're going to possibly approve, and I was reassured that there would be future looks at how things are actually happening on the ground. So that made me more comfortable. There's been a lot of development in Troutdale lately. ODOT's pumped millions of dollars into Troutdale. Interstate 84, as obviously the port has, and we have an urban renewal area that's about to be developed. So my concern as mayor is that we take advantage of these opportunities and that we have a financially sustainable airport, because even though it's the port's airport, it's our baby, the Troutdale Airport. So I am comfortable that the port has the financial sustainability of the airport in mind. And as mayor, I'm pleased with the community process that led to this recommendation. Thank you very much.
Questions or comments before you run off? Didn't mean to chase you out, but thanks very much.
Thanks, Mayor.
And next is Commissioner White. Morning.
Executive Director and Commissioners, thank you for allowing me to speak here today on this important subject, the future of the Troutdale Airport. I know you're in a hurry, but I want to invite everybody to see our newest park, Visionary Park. It's located at Milepost Zero on the historic highway, and yesterday was its 100-year anniversary. So if you get a chance, take a look at that. Let's see. My name is Glenn White. I'm a Troutdale City Councilor. I'm speaking here today on my own behalf, although I know that other councilors agree with what I'm about to say. I'm just going to read this to go faster. I'd like to read from a recent invitation from the Port of Portland for the East County statewide visit. The economic future of our state is intrinsically linked to the performance of our transportation system. Goods flow just in time through interconnected highways, rail, marine pipelines, and air networks. Our communities and economies, both large and small, rely on these systems to connect to the rest of Oregon, the Pacific Northwest, and the world. There is widespread recognition that our state's transportation infrastructure is not equipped to handle the needs of the global economy, and the future population growth, several efforts are underway to address Oregon's transportation challenges. Troutdale is a transportation hub, just geographically. We always have been. And we consider the airport our executive branch. So it means a lot to us. Troutdale is on the verge of becoming a worldwide destination. I feel it'd be a shame to shorten the runway length by 900 feet without first doing everything we possibly can do to maintain its current length. The city of Troutdale needs to share in the responsibility along with the port, Portland, and the state of Oregon to ensure every effort has been made to make the airport more vital link to our transportation system. Our council goal is to make the Troutdale Airport more of an asset to the region. And that's been a long-standing goal for Troutdale. I'm asking that the decision be delayed until such action has been completed. Just a few ideas would be to discuss with the Port of Portland an open for business plan similar to the one we did when we were experiencing large vacancies in our downtown. That program was very successful, and Mayor Douse was a big part of that. New business to the an incentive could create incentives for new businesses to locate to the south side of the airport, which in turn would keep 8 long-standing businesses from having to relocate. Look into the possibility of increased incentives beyond the current enterprise zone that exists on the Trip property currently for businesses that would utilize the airport. Hire a grant writer to help fund the current runway length. Aggressively market the airport in conjunction with the Trip property and possible new incentives. Reach out to the state of Oregon to help fund a study to determine if improvements can be made to the airport's approach. This could dramatically change the type of aircraft that could land at Troutdale. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. And I appreciate you being here. I want to say, just for everybody's benefit, we've now pushed this other meeting back 15 minutes because we do want to give people an opportunity to speak their piece, so to speak. I mean, there's been lots of work already done. It would be a shame to not finish the presentation. So, and I appreciate you being efficient in your comments. So any questions, comments to representative? Thank you very much. Thank you. Council member,
I'm sorry.
And the last person on the list is Joe Smith. Good morning. And as I said, we've received your comments. So you might take that into account as you speak this morning.
I will.
Okay.
Bit of background. Before some of the people in this room were born, I was the chief of staff to the congressman who represented Eastern Oregon. And when I was running his office, the city of Pendleton had a major campaign seeking to get federal funding for the Pendleton Airport for lengthening the runway because they hoped to get a dispersal base for military aircraft there instead of Walla Walla. And I therefore became very involved in and interested in aviation interests in Oregon. Because of that also, I learned to fly as a member of the Congressional Flying Club. When I left, I was attending law school when I worked for Al Ullman. I left his office to go to work for a law firm that specialized in transportation law, almost exclusively aviation law, and became very immersed in aviation. Excuse me. When I came back to Oregon and started practicing law in Pendleton, I was assistant city attorney to the city of Pendleton, and again was very involved in things involving the airport. And finally, I was the county council for Multnomah County back in the day when district attorneys served county council for smaller counties, and was involved to the extent that the county was interested in aviation. Since that time, I have served as the chair president of the Oregon Pilots Association. I have served 10 years on the Oregon Department of Aviation Board. I'm presently the regional director for the Oregon Pilot Association for this area. And for the last several years, I have been on your Citizens Noise Advisory Committee, and I'm the representative for CNAC on the Community Advisory Committee. I am assuming and hoping that you all have had opportunity to read my four-page dissent, which is just 1/20th the length of the big one, which makes it perhaps more likely you've read the whole thing. I just want to highlight four facts. First, we've heard talk today about the 5,200-foot length. The length of the runway right now is 5,399 feet for 75% of all operations. For takeoffs, which is critical, that's the length. It's only shorter when you're landing to the west, which is not a critical distance. That's a significant fact. Okay, key facts. Unless the possibility of keeping the 5,400-foot runway is stated somewhere in the master plan, the FAA will not consider it, period. I confirmed that three different times as a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee for the Troutdale Airport. Second, there is nothing in the plan as proposed that cannot be accomplished maintaining the existing runway length. So there's nothing in the way of moving things or developing whatever that conflicts. Third, the incremental cost to the port to keep that additional length is 10% of the construction cost of a 20% increase in what is proposed. What that tells us is that the cost is 2% of the total cost of the project of rehabilitating the runway. Actually, a little less than 2% because some of it is administrative costs, and the difference between administering a 4,500-foot extension of rehabilitation and a 5,400-foot rehabilitation is negligible, if at all. Finally, my motion, which came within one vote of passing, despite vigorous opposition from both the staff and the chair, was simply this. We recommend that should funding become available for keeping the existing runway length, consideration should be given to doing that. I cannot for the life of me see any downside to including that language in the master plan. I would be happy to answer any questions on the dissent that I filed or any other questions, but I hope the board would seriously consider just adding that language.
Just thank you for the comment. Just historically, so you know, I recall growing up in the 50s in Pendleton and the 60s when there were multiple disputes over the airport. So I understand community connection to airports.
Well, back in
as do a number of the rest of us, I'm sure.
Back in those days, United Airlines was required to land in Pendleton if they flew from Portland to Spokane. I mean, it was really heavy stuff.
Right. So anyhow, other questions or comments of Mr. Smith? Okay.
Thank
you very much for both your written comments and your comments today. Steve and Vince, if you'd come back up, and Travis as well. I think it's important. There have been a couple of questions raised that you respond to those. And if Commissioner Levy has any comments he wishes to make, both as a pilot and a commissioner, I would appreciate those. And then if there are any questions, we'll take those.
Thank you for the opportunity to kind of give some of the discussion about this. The things that you heard just now are things that were actually, and I would ask Travis to comment on this, were discussed at length during the master plan process. Almost every one of those items was brought up at some point, discussed, and decisions were made by the PAC and a recommendation. It boils down to essentially two items, but there are multiple subparts to that. But of the two items, the one is the runway length issue. On the runway length issue, we looked at that extensively, including two options that we had showed you, alternative C or B, which was 3,600 feet, which accommodates 99% of the operations there. 99% of the operations there are single and twin engine aircraft. 1% of them, both historically and projected going forward in the future, are of the business class aviation. And of that business class aviation, they're in the smaller to medium size of business aviation. There is an occasional large aircraft that comes in there, but actually they're overweight technically for the airport, the runway environment that's there right now. So what we were talking about is preserving capability in that 1% of the range. 4,500 feet came up as a conclusion by two ways. One is the FAA has criteria for protection of zones on the ends of the runways. those now have to be clear. If you are reconstructing or instead of rehabilitating, reconstructing or constructing a new runway, you have to come into compliance with FAA standards as they are now. That means roads and things like levees should not be in those zones. So once you add those zones on to the ends, you come up with 4,500 feet in the runway in the middle if you have those clear zones. The other way that 4,500 feet is, if you look at that class of small and medium business jet aircraft and you go into the FAA's guidance for designing of runways and you look at it for an airport at sea level in the hottest month of the year, which would be July and August, and you do their graphs and tables, for 60% of those aircraft to operate in that market, you need a 4,500-foot runway. So there is some both physical dimensions that dictate that, as well as some planning dimensions that the FAA has for that. So that's how the runway length becomes available. We believe that serving 99-plus percent of the business community and jets that can operate in there is going to be sufficient. The other reason is we have to look at it in the context of a regional system of airports. PDX with business aviation is just 8 miles away as well. Plenty of businesses have the opportunity to land here, and they do right now to the tune on any given year of about a 20-to-1 ratio of compared to landing at Troutdale. They land here at PDX, and some of those are going right back out to East County to do business as well. So we don't feel that there's a detriment to being able to do business in East County with that length of runway. The other argument about runway or about leases and the north side is we have committed to working with those businesses. Some have short-term leases. In fact, we just extended one for 3 additional years to give us the opportunity to talk with them about redevelopment plans. Some have leases that take them out 18 years. So we're not talking about, you know, redevelopment in those areas for quite a long period of time. In fact, we'll be doing another master plan at the 10-year point. And we'll be revisiting all those before some of those leases ever run out. We've made a commitment to the tenants and to the city as well to work with those tenants to try and find that development on the south side. This discussion about not being able to qualify for leases on that, I think you've seen as many leases as we have that have come up recently here for approval. We've just had 4 hangars developed in Hillsborough recently. 3 of them we know of had lease financing associated with those. They're developed on 30 or 35-year terms. And Atlantic Aviation is redeveloping right here at PDX on leased property. So the ability to gain financing associated with that for businesses to be able to develop, we don't believe that's a real stopping point for the development, redevelopment of the airport over time as well. So on those two fronts, which are the majority of how the comments come down, on the idea of Joe Smith's specific comments about the amendments and moving that language forward, staff and port staff that was there at the last PAC meeting, really, I think, Vince, you were there, we really had no position on that. It came forward as a discussion item from the PAC at the meeting after they had already voted 16-3 to recommend this. There were only 15 members at the last PAC meeting. They voted 7-8 not to move that recommendation forward. I think it'd be difficult for us to go against the PAC's desire to include something like that. I also think there is some benefit to having certain clarity in the narrative itself when we go to the FAA and say, here's the proposal that's put forward for that runway. It's based on the forecast, it's based on your design standards, and it's based on the actual aircraft and the businesses and the types of things that are using that airport today. I think there's some value to having that certainty.
And I think the last thing that I would say around this is a plan. We continually revisit the plans. When you look at the runway length, we are not scheduled to rehabilitate this runway for probably 3-4 years or so. So between now and then, if there are things that happen from a development standpoint, as we work with the community out there to find other opportunities, we will continue to have conversations with the FAA about potential expansion, if it got to that point. But right now, this is just a plan as we see it today. This is the one that we think makes the most sense. But if something were to change in the economics out there, we can certainly revisit the conversation.
One other thing I forgot to mention was we had shared this with the PAC during some of their initial background of the airport. From 1942, when the port took over the airport, until 1983, the runway length was actually 4,640 feet. So during the heyday of the heights of operations at the airport, when it was at its greatest usage in the 60s and in mid-70s, it was actually operating with a runway essentially of the length that we're proposing going back to. What really changed the tip the balance, as Mayor Dallas alluded to, is we had an auxiliary U.S. Forest Service tanker base that was developed in the 1980s. They don't operate those types of aircraft that can use this airport any longer. In fact, they've canceled their leases with us for access to this. So some of the most demanding type of aircraft that was using the airport for the last 30 years is no longer coming in there. And in that time frame, we've certainly had that length of runway to support other business aviation and that type of activities. We still are seeing only 1% of the current usage of that facility. Even while we're marketing it and had that length of a facility available, we didn't see that much more activity come in. We feel confident that going back to a length similar to what it was for the 41 years will provide still a really good asset for the community in combination with what PDX provides for business aviation.
Before I ask any of the other commissioners if they have questions, I want to make sure if you've got a comment, Commissioner Levy, that you have a chance to make it.
Thank you, President Carter.
No, if that's on.
Okay. You know, in the last couple of years, we've had a lot of issues come before us where we probably would have liked more information. I think this is one of those cases where the information presented, the process that the staff and the PAC went through is really above reproach. It would be, you know, I think trying to second guess the community decision by the commission is not something I would recommend. I went to the last meeting. It's very, very impressive. I understand Joe's concerns about the runway lengths and the community's concerns, but I remind everyone that there are a lot of runways around the state that are 4,500 feet. Hermiston has one. We have lots of business jets that come in and out of there from, you know, as far away as the Midwest. So they're big jets. So I think that basically the 4,500-foot recommendation by the PAC is good for the community, good for aviation. I do fly. The problem with Troutdale is the runway alignment between it and Portland make it difficult to make an approach. Well, there is no approach flying from, like, going east because of the terrain off the east end of the runway. There is approach that gets you in there, but it's not particularly a good approach. It brings you in from the south. The minimums are not very good. In a big airplane, it's a little bit difficult. The missed approach procedure interferes with Portland's traffic pattern. And to be honest, the last time I did the approach in there when the minimums were low, it kind of irritated the controllers because, like I said, you interfere with the Portland traffic. So since that problem is not going to be solved, I support what the PAC's recommendations are. I do think that the problem for Troutdale Airport is the FBO. And I really, after thinking about it, think that the city of Troutdale has some responsibility if they want the airport to grow or even maintain what it is. If the current FBO doesn't want to have a, you know, move to the south side in a newer building, then it might be partially considered the city's responsibility to enter into the long-term agreement with the port. The city of Hermiston has one that way. There's many. I mean, the city runs the FBO. There's lots of places around the state where the cities own and operate the FBO or own the FBO building and then lease it to the operator. So I was very, very pleased and compliment the port staff and Steve and the PAC people for a great job. And I recommend we pass it the way it is.
Other questions or comments? I would like to say, just especially for the people who have come here to talk about this, in addition to Travis as the representative of the PAC and our staff, I think this is, again, one of those processes that has benefited greatly from a lot of community involvement. As Joe Smith said, the sound committee, the noise committee that we've heard from in the past, the concessionaire conversations that we've had, I think this is one of those, to me, seems one of those processes that's had a lot of input from a lot of important sources. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who have participated, including coming here today and speaking to us. And I apologize personally if there's been any sense of imperative to get this done, but I did want to get to this point where we've had a complete presentation on this particular issue today without adjourning and asking you to sit around for an hour while we come back. So with that, is there a motion and second on the recommendation as made today?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. I think it speaks well to the work that you have done, and I look forward to a long relationship with the city of Troutdale as well as the airport. So thanks very much, and thank you, Travis. And I know there are two other people who have signed up to speak today, and I assume that is on the SEIU issues around the airlines. And what I'm going to ask is, I'm not sure how long this other item will take us, but it'll be half hour, 30, 45 minutes anyhow, I assume. I would prefer that, and I apologize for making you sit here through this meeting, I'd prefer that you come back to the next meeting for your comments. I know it's not a, there's not an action item on the table, but you can't do that. Well, the only other option I have is that we come back after this meeting, and I'm not sure how many commissioners we'll have available for that. But
can't do it. Unfortunately, we have the tax supervisor.
Yeah, we've just pushed them back 15 minutes or so anyhow. So when we finish, if you're still here, at least I and anyone else who's on the commission that's available will come back in here and take whatever testimony you want to offer in the absence of being able to do that the next time. Okay? So this meeting is adjourned for now. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
so
thank you.
We're reconvening here. Appreciate your patience. You'd signed up earlier for making some comments. It's not an agenda item, and because of the review committee that had to meet, we've reconvened. To the extent we've got a few people that are commissioners still here, we don't have a quorum, but there's no action to be taken. So we're going to record comments, and appreciate your patience in being here. So please state your name and your affiliation, and then comment briefly. If I've just been handed a couple of written pages, I'm not sure if those are what you've prepared, and you might identify those as well.
Yes.
And I think I may recognize you from a prior session. Have you testified before here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So go ahead, state your name and provide your comments to us. Thanks.
Yeah, anyway. Good evening, President, members still here. My name is Casil Cabrillo. I'm from Chuuk State in the Federated States of Micronesia. I work at BTX as a passenger service agent for Antley, USA. And I support my union, SEIU Local 49. I am so grateful to be here and tell you my story again. At BDX, I provide services to passengers who need assistance getting around in wheelchairs. I love having a job here, help people every day. I came to America 9 years ago to make a better life, dreaming of finding a job, settle down, and give my children a chance for a good life as a single mother. But even with all of the dedication that I give my job, I still struggle. When I started, my pay was minimum wage. This has not changed in 9 years. Every day I give all my effort at work, and I have not been compensated in the form of raise or benefits. Airlines profit have increased, and these increases are not reflected in our wage or benefits. We are considered the number one airport in the nation, and yet I heard BDX is now behind all other major West Coast airports in the wage paid to us workers. For example, during the course of the last, since my last testimony before the Board Commission, I have lost my place of residency due to increased monthly rent. December 14, 2015 was a day I will never forget. I was evicted and homeless for a span of 6 months. I was then forced to impose on my family members for a place to stay, which also resulted in an extreme commute, my travel expenses by double. My job, to my job. So I came back to Portland after staying in the Econo Lodge Motel for 3 weeks. I then again had no to impose on my family. I thank the Lord that my family was willing to continue themselves to a small bedroom shared by 6 people. One year specifically, I found myself homeless during a harsh winter and suffered the loss of many family traditions, spent together, memories and experiences that cannot be replaced. It will take a minimum of 15 an hour wage just to make ends meet and support myself and my family. Due to the eviction, I am no longer have easy access to rent. With 15 an hour, I will be able to pay my bills and not afterward worry about that I would be out in the street again. In the previous discussion, the board promised to hold meetings with important stakeholders with regards to wage increase, and this never happened to my knowledge. My fellow workers and I are still struggling to survive, and we have more proven our word to our airport. 2 years of dedicated services, we desperately need this wage increase to happen. That's why my coworkers and I from Huntley have formed our union, and we will start negotiating our first contract soon. We are continue counting on you to make the necessary change to provide us with quality of life and the right to pursue the American dream. Thank you for your time and consideration. We are counting on you.
Thank you, and I would say that in response to your comments here, I appreciate you coming here again and telling us about those. What we did say, excuse me, was that we were going to leave the minimum wage issue to the state, and the state has now acted. I don't know the timing of the implementation of the path to $15 an hour minimum, but in fact, that's what we did say to folks as they raised the issue of the minimum wage. So thank you for coming again today.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, members of the commission. My name is Garrett Strain. I'm a recent Master's in Public Administration graduate of the University of Washington and a research associate of the Harry Bridges Center for Labor Studies. I'm here today to share the findings of my new report, Poverty Doesn't Fly, an analysis of the economic impact of a $15 an hour minimum wage for outsourced PDX workers. You should have the report in front of you as well as a one-pager with some of the major findings.
Yeah. We have the report, which we've had, we got yesterday, the full right. report, and I hopefully, if not by now, all of us will review, and thank you for that. So, and I've just received the one-page summary that you've submitted.
Okay, great. So my findings suggest that a $15 an hour minimum wage for outsourced workers would be affordable for airline companies and a boon to the local economy of the Portland metropolitan area. The key findings are the following. First, wages are exceptionally low at PDX. You mentioned the state minimum wage increases that are happening. Even after Oregon's new legislation raises the state's minimum wage to $9.75 in July 2016, PDX will still have the lowest minimum wage relative to its peer large hub airports on the West Coast. As a result, over 300 airport workers like Cassell are forced to rely on public assistance benefits, including food stamps and Medicaid, for basic survival. In effect, taxpayers are subsidizing low-wage PDX employers by over $3 million annually. Second, PDX suffers from high turnover. According to an analysis of FY 2015 data from the Port of Portland, PDX employee turnover among airline service providers was 64% on average. Third, outsourcing has increased at PDX. The share of outsourced air transportation workers at PDX increased from 19 to 26% from 2001 to 2014. Several studies have confirmed that outsourced air transportation workers earn substantially less than their counterparts who are directly employed by airline carriers. Fourth, higher wages would boost Portland's regional economy. Using the same assumptions as Martin & Associates in its forthcoming report that they conducted for the port on the port's economic impact, I found that a $15 an hour minimum wage for outsourced workers would result in up to $7,197,000 in additional spending and 81 additional jobs created in the Portland regional economy. Much of this additional spending and economic growth would be concentrated in low-income communities where PDX workers like Cassell live. Lastly, airline carriers can more than afford the cost of raising workers' wages to $15 an hour. For example, the estimated cost of raising the wages of Alaska Air Group's outsourced workers to $15 an hour would be approximately $2.2 million, which represents less than 0.3% of the company's total net income in 2015. I hope these findings are of interest to the commissioners as you consider ways to support PDX workers and their families, improve PDX operations, and maximize your impact on the local economy. I would be happy to answer any questions about my report or its findings. Thank you for your time.
Well, again, thank you very much for waiting here today. And I did look at the report yesterday in its full form and appreciate the work that you've done on that, and the summary is helpful. So questions from anyone? Okay. Thanks very much. And I'm sure we'll be visiting these issues on an ongoing basis, but I do look forward to the wage increase statewide. Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll adjourn again.